That was a little bit of silence out there. I think it's y'all came for the free pizza, didn't you? No. Well, I've got good news, and I've got even better news. The good news is I'm not speaking today. That's the good news. The even better news, though, is that we do have Joshua Waldman, who's the author of this book that I have in my hand, Job Searching with Social Media for Dummies, and we really got super lucky with him being here. Obviously on a book tour, and it was making a stop in Dallas and is hitting all the major universities in the area. And just so happened to have time on his schedule to come visit us here at the Health Science Center. And I told him, I said, you know what? We'll be really lucky if we have, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 people that come today. Just because, I mean, it's middle of the, you know, middle of the day and people have tests. I know the PAs have passed day to day. So a lot of stuff going on. And the fact that we've got, at least being an optimist, a half full, not a half empty room, but a half full room of people is a great sign. And I said, you know, obviously it's the quality of the speaker and the subject matter. So that's very encouraging. And again, we know it's not just for the pizzas. So I appreciate you coming for the presentation as well. But anyway, without much further ado, I'll go ahead and get into his bio just to read a little bit about the author, and then I'll hand it over to the real speaker for today so we can go ahead and get cranking here. So anyway, Joshua Waldman, MBA, is a consultant and entrepreneur who teaches technology and marketing skills to job seekers to help them get noticed and ultimately find jobs. And as assistant director for career services, I like that. That's part of my job too. He has been using social media to enhance his career and the careers of others since 2006, and has worked with unemployment office staff, MBA Career Center staff, and countless unemployed and frustrated job seekers. He founded the Career Alignment blog in 2009 with the mission of helping job seekers break away from outdated and ineffective job searching strategies. Joshua's blog content has been featured on top career sites, including the International Business Times, Simply Hired blog, CareerRealism.com, and MediaBistro.com. Exclusive extras and more resources for this book can be found at www.careerenlightenment.com/dummies. Joshua enjoys meditation, bodybuilding, vegetarian cooking, and bad kung fu flicks. I had to think about that one for a second. He knows the existence of Hannah Montana only because of his 13-year-old daughter. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. By the way, she's now out. She's not cool anymore. I don't know if you knew that.
No, she's not cool.
Okay. Yeah, she was.
My daughter went on my computer and deleted that from my author's
book. Oh, okay.
And I put
all right.
it back.
And Justin Bieber's out too, by the way. I've just discovered the hard way. But anyway. So, and he keeps his head on his shoulders only because of his wife's good sense. I can sympathize with that one too. So, anyway, I'll go ahead and hand it over. If you do have questions, we are audio recording this. And just in an effort to really try to get it on the recording, if you have a question, raise your hand. I'll pass you the mic so we can make sure we capture that. And then I think we'll have some things after the presentation as well. So, go ahead and hand it over to you.
Thank you, Jim. How you guys doing today? Nobody was flooded this week? See, one of the things I brought with me from Portland, Oregon was some rain. The other thing I brought with me was a little woo-woo, so we'll have some woo-woo today. You'll see what I mean in a second. You may have noticed my voice is 2 octaves lower than it normally is if you've spoken with me on the phone before. This is my 11th talk in 4 days. So I've been busy. I don't normally talk this much. I'm actually an introvert. But I'm really happy to be here, actually. This is Fort Worth is a really cool place. I've been to, there's a vegan bistro called Twister. Has anyone been there? Really good food. And I did some hot yoga right on Fort Bowie. Is that what you call it? Fort Boat? Camp Bowie. Sorry. Getting used to it. The roads are awful, too. I mean, if it wasn't for... You see, my GPS is I like to joke, it's the only woman I listen to. So without my GPS, I probably wouldn't have gotten here this morning. But I do want to start and tell you a little story. So it was late 2008, and I'm at my dream job with Cisco Systems. How many of you are in technology, healthcare technology? A few of you? Yeah. So Cisco Systems is ranked one of the top 10 places to work. Really fun culture, really, really great place. And I love technology, right, because I used to build computers with my dad when I was a kid instead of playing ball. That's how nerdy I am. And I also love to travel. I lived in Kathmandu for 3 years. I lived in Thailand, India. I taught English in Japan. So I love to travel, and Cisco let me do that. And it was a great job. And we moved. We moved from Boston. We moved from Boston to North Carolina in the Triangle Park. Then we moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and then we moved to Las Vegas. Now, if you've ever lived in Las Vegas, you know that it's not always plastic Eiffel Towers and strip clubs every single day. It's a fairly normal place to live and work. Relatively, of course, because my neighbor, he distributed beer for Budweiser. His ex-stripper girlfriend, mother of his two children, made really good chili. And they both made fun of us because we were vegetarian, didn't own a television, and thereby consequently didn't like to watch sports on a non-existent television. So culturally, it wasn't really a good fit. It wasn't really a place we would have chosen to work were it not for the great job at Cisco. But that kind of changed. Because in 2008, a lot of people were laid off. And so was I. Now, when my boss so kindly laid me off, he said, sometimes it's more lucrative to get laid off from Cisco than it is to stick around. And actually, he was right. Great severance package. And I was very quickly recruited by a Cisco partner, okay, in Portland, Oregon. And Portland, Oregon was a great place for us for several reasons. One, there were other vegetarians. There were other people who didn't watch sports because, I don't know if you watch the Blazers, isn't exactly a top team. Although there's a lot of devotion to it. In fact, I think we like the Timbers better than the Blazers. The Timbers, by the way, is our recently gone pro soccer team. So that's kind of exciting. Yes, obscure, I know. So, but it was a great job, right? You know, so I got to do all that Cisco stuff, lived in a place that was a cultural better fit for us. 6 months later, I get laid off for the second time. Okay, early 2009. And that's when it really hit me. It's that dark night of the soul. You know what I'm talking about? That time in your life where you're like, whoa. Really? I've got an Ivy League education. An MBA I'm still paying for. This isn't supposed to happen to me. But it did. Reality hits whether you want it to or not, doesn't it? So, I'd go for walks in the woods and sort of stare off into space, but something doesn't mix with me. Free time doesn't mix with me real well. As you can probably tell from my schedule this week, I like to stay busy. And when you're laid off, you happen to have quite a bit of it, of free time, that is. And so what I decided to do was run an experiment. And the experiment was this. What would happen if I combined social media with job search? What would happen? I've got nothing to lose. You see, when you're laid off, you get humiliated in several ways. First of all, your self-esteem goes to, you know. And then you go to this place called, it's a dark place, it's called the unemployment office. It's a very dark place. When they do have electricity, it's still a dark place. And they make you take an English test and an arithmetic test, and which is humiliating, of course, and so which you can finish at 100% in 20 minutes. All of you can do that. And so when they realize that you're a semi-intelligent bipedal organism, they kick you out, and they say, you will not have any success in your job search in the next 6 to 9 months. That's what they tell you. Okay? So I don't do well with authority. And so when someone tells that to me, I say, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to prove you dead wrong. And so what I decided to do was do this experiment and see what would happen, right? Because when I was at Cisco, I started the Cisco LinkedIn group. HR didn't want me to start a LinkedIn group for Cisco because it would become a shark tank for headhunters and recruiters, which it has. 64,000 members in that group. If you're in technology, join it. You'll get recruited. The year before that, I actually got to travel all throughout Vietnam, and I met my LinkedIn contacts in Vietnam. So, wow, that was cool. I met the COO, the chief operating officer of a Mercedes plant. I met IKEA just opened up in IKEA in Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon. I mean, how great. And I got to meet the executives. How great is that? So I really believed in this stuff. And I was really well trained in job search, too, as an MBA. So what ended up happening is within 2 weeks of starting this experiment, I was in job interviews. 2 weeks. But I was still in this dark night phase, you know. You can't just pop out of it. And so what ended up happening to me was I didn't take the interviews very seriously. You know, the story going on in my head was, wow, what would it feel like if I got laid off from this company? Right? It keeps going. So at one point, the interviewer looked me right in the eyes and he goes, "Joshua, do you have any management experience?" And I go, "Absolutely. I'm married." And he goes, "Oh man, this guy is not ready for a job. You know, your career counselor will tell you that is not the correct answer to that question." Right, Jimmy? Yeah. And so, you know, that was sort of a turning point for me where I said, okay, maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. And I didn't like that feeling too much. So I made a choice. I said, look, how can I be more valuable to the world? How can I give? How can I serve people? How can I show that I care? And the value that I felt that I could provide was by showing other job seekers how to do what I was doing. Other people who were ready to take their interviews more seriously. And I began training and speaking and blogging. I started Career Enlightenment in late 2009. I trained all of the job-seeking groups in the Portland metro area. And it felt great. You know, when you go through that dark night phase of your life, you learn things about yourself. Like, I learned that I really love public speaking and training. I love that moment when somebody walks into a class and they're like, "Yeah, Twitter's for losers," right? And then by the time they end the class, they're like, they've got a Twitter account, they've tweeted, they've like, you know, they're into it, they're like, "I'm gonna go home and tweet." You know, that light bulb that goes off, that drives me. I didn't know that that drives me until, you know, I really had to learn about myself, right? And something marvelous started to happen, and I had clients get hired fast. Like Jeff Smith, right, from Portland. He was in his job search for 6 months. He came to a lecture just like this. He made a very small change in his LinkedIn profile, and in 7 days, he had 17 inquiries. Isn't that astounding? Small changes can have really big effects in the real world. Carmen, another client, came to a lecture, did all this personal branding stuff that we're going to learn today, and she received 2 promotions in 6 months, attached to an email from her boss which said, "I wish more employees were just like you." She's not going to get laid off anytime soon, right? So if you can relate to that, if you're worried about what's going to happen, most of you are students, right? I'm making that as an assumption. Some of you are faculty or from the public. If you relate to any of those situations, if you've been working on your resume and it's not getting back what you might expect it to get back, if you've been filling out applications online and it's like going into a black hole, nobody ever gets back to you except thank you for applying, then you've come to the right place, because the small things we're going to learn today are going to have huge consequences in your job search. Okay? So why was this working, right? I ran this experiment and it was working. And I repeated it, right? That's the definition of a scientific experiment. You can repeat it and it has the same results. And I was able to repeat it and it had the same results. So now the question was why? Why was this working so effectively? And I realized in this sort of process of discovery that in late 2008, the first people to lose their jobs when our great new depression hit our economy were in HR. They were HR recruiters. Okay. And a recruiter is trained and has access to tools and has access to budgets in order to do one thing, and that is bring in talented people into an organization. When they're gone, who does that? The hiring manager does that. The hiring manager does not have budget for, access to tools to, or have the training to understand how to do this. Okay? That's why they're looking for more effective and efficient ways to bring in talent. To post on Monster.com costs an organization $600 to $900 per month. If I'm a VP of marketing, why would I spend my marketing budget on Monster? Right? So I'm going to use employee referrals. I'm going to go out to my social networks. I'm going to go on Twitter. I'm going to go on Facebook. I'm going to go on LinkedIn, because these are free tools and they're more reliable. Because on Monster, this is what happens in the point of view of a hiring manager. Post a job, 1,000 spammy emails, resumes come back. I have to do keyword searching to to find 10 that are quasi-qualified for what I was asking for, and then phone screen them. I could do that, which would take $600 to $900 of my time in a week of work, or I could just go out to my LinkedIn network and say, hey, anybody know a qualified salesperson who might be interested in a role that I'm opening up? Right? Now you have a trusted network bringing in that referral, that employee referral, so there's less risk and there's much less work. Right? So we have efficiency and effectiveness combined. That means there has been a paradigm shift. Okay. That's why only 3% of jobs ever make it to a job board. Did you guys know Monster.com lost $5 billion in the last 5 years? They are no longer an S&P 500 company. The age of the job board is over. We're in a new era, okay? We're in a new time. It's a time of networking, social media networking. When LinkedIn went public last year, they went from 80 million members to 134 million members, triple. And that was just Q4 last year. That was their report last year. What's going to happen Q1 this year, the end of March? That might double or triple too. The Society of Human Resource Management, SHRM, did a study last year, 2011, and they found that 95% of hiring managers actually use LinkedIn to recruit. That's almost all. Okay? Is that compelling? Okay? And if that doesn't sway your opinion, then this next one will. 10 million Americans found their jobs with LinkedIn. 18 million Americans found their jobs with Facebook, and 8 million found it with Twitter. That adds up to way more than the 14 million unemployed Americans. There is a new breed of job seeker. Join us. Join us. And get control over your career. Join us. Okay? That's why I'm on tour. I'm spreading the word about this. There is a new way to find work. It's an empowering way. It will give you back your sense of control. Okay. Other interesting fact is this, that of hiring managers, which is most of them, who use social media to recruit, half of them have said that they've had to reject candidates based on something they found out about them online. Like last year's Halloween party. But it's not just about looking good online, right? It's about networking. We're talking about social networking. Okay. So this was a screenshot I took from my LinkedIn profile about a year and a half, 2 years ago. 880 first degree connections. 11 million third degree connections. 11 million professionals. Ready, willing, and happy to help me learn about an organization, meet someone at a company that I'm interested in, or provide me insights into an industry that I'm moving into. 11 million people ready, happy, and willing to do that for me. That's powerful, right? Do you see that? So, and that's really why I wrote the book, because this is the thing that works now. And people who get it get jobs. So this is 360 pages of the utmost detail of how to do it. And since we only have about an hour today, I will try my best to get as much across as I possibly can. But it's, you know, there's a lot of material here. There's a lot of training. So I promise that by the end of the talk, I'll show you some opportunities to take it to the next step. If you want to learn more, if you want to do more one-on-one training with me, watch a DVD. There will be some opportunities to further that. But in the time that we have, I will get across as much as I possibly can and share with you what I know. Okay? So, first, I do want to do a door prize. I forgot to ask you about that. How are we going to choose somebody to win?
The person wearing the blue shirt, I think. Is holding the... Oh, never mind. Maybe we could do like a trivia question.
All right.
I can even think of the question, and whoever answers it first maybe gets the prize.
You guys like that? All right, let's do that. Okay. So first, let me describe. You think about the question, and I'll describe what they'll win. Okay. All right, cool. Jimmy's funny. All right. So the first
looks
the
aren't everything. Hmm? Yes, it looks aren't everything.
Yes, no, they're not. No. So the first thing is, of course, the book, which is about $20, right? The Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Amazon's probably like 12, but you know, then you have tax. Also, the person's going to win the DVD, one of my three DVDs. This is a really powerful. It's 74 minutes of screenshots and tips and tricks that you can pause and actually follow along with. So it's for all three of the social networks, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So how do you protect yourself on Facebook? How do you still have fun at your Halloween parties without risking the potential job later on? That kind of stuff. You know, actually, one thing that happens that's kind of funny is you go to these career fairs. You guys go to career fairs sometimes, right? No? Nobody goes to career fairs anymore? And you go there. I mean, so what happens? You dress up. You know what to say. You have your questions prepared. You have your resume in your hand. And you find the company that you're really interested in, and you go like this. Here's my resume. And they're like, go online. Right? Doesn't that happen all the time? It's annoying. And then to make it even more irritating, the junior recruiter who has no authority to hire you tries to friend you on Facebook. This happens a lot. Right? And then you're like, oh man, what do I do? If I say no, they'll think I'm hiding something. If I say yes, they'll see something. Right? What do I do about that? In the DVD, I show you exactly what to do about that. So it's very useful. And this is actually pretty cool too, because I put together a coupon book. You guys call it an entertainment guide, don't you? Entertainment guide? In Oregon, we call it the Chinook book. We do things differently in Oregon. So I put together an entertainment guide for job seekers, right? And essentially, what this is it's $300 of value, right, in the book. So G5 Leadership, for example, is I'm giving you a year membership to the premier leadership development and training company. David Allen, who is an international recognized best-selling author and speaker on personal productivity, spoke last week live to this community. Okay, amazing speakers are coming to talk about personal development and leadership. Okay, $50 cover letter and resume rewrite. If you've ever tried to hire a resume writer, they start off at like $300-$400. This is a $50 voucher for actually getting both. So pretty good value. And this last one, this is just an example of three, but a JibberJobber is a management software. So what resume did I send to who? How many contacts do I have in that organization? What did I say to each one? In sales, we call it CRM. It's CRM for the job seeker. So it's a way to stay organized in probably the most chaotic time in your life, right? If you think class is hard, go out there and look for a job, and you have 10 different opportunities that you're tracking, all with different resumes, all with three or four different contacts in each one. Your brain is going to explode, right? This is 3 months of free software that will just help you stay organized. So it's pretty good stuff, okay? So that's what they're going to win when they answer your question. Okay. So what do you think? Yeah, I'm ready. You guys ready?
Why is this lecture hall called Everett Hall? What's the significance of it? Okay, this is an easy one. Come on. Was Carl Everett was who? Founder of the DO School here. Yes, that is correct. Mm.
Give her an applause. Congrats.
Also known as TCOM.
So she's putting that on eBay for $100 after the lecture.
TCOM, excuse me.
She's taking the picture now. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so let's get into the meat of this. We're going to talk about three things today. We're going to talk about personal branding. And for those of you working with a career center, you may have already started this process, so some of this will feel familiar. Okay, we'll talk about how to apply this personal branding woo-woo to LinkedIn, so we'll get down to earth. We'll come back to earth and actually talk about actual frameworks and strategies you can use, small changes that you can make to your profile that will have a big effect and your ability to be hired. And then we'll talk about Twitter. Hopefully we'll have time for that. So, and throughout the lecture today, if you have a question, just raise your hand and we'll try to get to it, okay? So let's talk about this thing called personal branding. Personal branding was first coined by Tom Peters in 1998 in an article called Brand You. 1998 was long before social media came in vogue, and it was intended for high-level, high-profile executives who had access to a lot of resources. So here's the problem with the term personal branding. Who here knows what a brand, how can you define brand? Does anybody have a definition for brand? What's a brand? It's nebulous, isn't it? It's hard. I asked that question last night at Argosy University, where they have business majors, MBAs, and marketing majors. So these people should know what a brand is. I had three different definitions. How is that useful? A word with three, four, five, six definitions is not useful. So I'm going to rebrand personal branding. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to argue that it's actually personal positioning. Isn't positioning much more clear? Does anybody want to take a stab at what positioning means? Call it out. What is positioning? It's how you're different, right? It's how something is different from something else, right? Would you agree to that? How is one thing different from something? How is Dunkin' Donuts coffee different from Starbucks? Right? That's positioning. So personal branding is actually positioning yourself as different, unique, special, uniquely qualified to perform some kind of an action or solve some kind of a problem. Right? We'll use that as our definition for personal branding. And the reason why we talk about this first is that if you just go online and start filling out your profiles, like, boy, he's talking about LinkedIn, and I'm really convinced that I need to have a LinkedIn profile, so I'm going to go and spend the next 20 minutes, and I'm going to crop my face out of my last year's Hawaii vacation photo and put that up there, and then I'm going to just put in my job title for my headline, and I'll be done with my LinkedIn profile in probably about a half an hour. You could do that. But then what will happen is that inconsistencies will arise because you haven't thought about your positioning yet. Okay. Does anybody recognize the man in this picture here? Man of the Year, Time Magazine, 2010? Wasn't it 2010? Man of the Year. His company is the largest and most powerful technology startup in the history of man. And they're going IPO in March. And at the bottom right-hand corner of his picture is a hash pipe. Jimmy has to get up to see that. He wants to see that. Wow. That's why they spent millions of dollars getting this taken off of Google. Of course, I captured it before so I could continue to mull his name. This is what happens when you don't think about your personal brand. Inconsistencies. And inconsistencies mean you wind up in the maybe pile. And the maybe pile is essentially the no pile because we're in a buyer's market in our economy. Okay? So there's your first mistake if you're taking notes and you're all students, most of you are students, so I'm sure you will be. Hint. The first mistake is not really thinking about your personal brand before you start filling out these online profiles. Okay? It can cause big problems later on if you haven't thought about this. In fact, there's a framework that I'd like to introduce to you that can help start this mental process. This is the woo-woo, okay? So forgive me and give me a little slack for the woo. I'm coming in from Portland. This is what we do up there. We have unconferences. You know what an unconference is? You don't know what an unconference is? It's sort of a conference with no breakout sessions, no speakers, no timetable, no point. I think they play Wii for a few days. Anyway, so personal branding starts off with introspection, right? Who are you? 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 And then we combine. Actually, this is interesting because if you go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon and you buy a personal branding book, all you will get is who are you. You'll do values elicitation, and you'll write your elevator pitch, and you'll do all these things, but they'll forget this part. They'll forget this part, which is what are their problems, right? Every good marketing campaign Has anyone been in sales before? Does anyone have any sales experience? So you know, in order to sell something, you have to address the need. You can't sell if there's no need. So how can you sell yourself if you don't know the need of your target organization? I just said target organization. Did you catch that? That means you need to have a target organization. Here's the thing. In order to know what their needs are, you need to know who they are. So the first thing, of course, is who's your top 10 list of ideal companies that you want to work for? And then once you have that, what are their problems and challenges? And once you know that, you can start to combine who you are to what you're uniquely qualified to solve at an organization. Does that make sense? I mean, it can't get any simpler than this Venn diagram. That's what your personal brand is. So don't let the word brand, because, you know, hate that word. It doesn't mean anything. Don't let that get in the way of actually doing this work. It's really important work. Okay, does that make sense? So let's dive into who you are. Who you are is values, elicitation, passions, what you're good at. The Career Center has access to all these kinds of assessments and programs. Map testing, color code, Myers-Briggs, DISC, all kinds of personality tests, StrengthFinder, for example. Here's one I really like. In fact, I've been thinking about this one a lot this week, which is name three people who you admire the most. Fictional, historical, could be relatives. Three people you admire the most. And then ask yourself, what were they willing to sacrifice to achieve what they achieved? Isn't that interesting? So I'm coming down with a little bit of a head cold, right? So this morning I'm sleeping in and I'm thinking to myself, what would Brendon Burchard do? Brendon Burchard is someone who's on my list. He's a fantastic speaker. When he runs a workshop, he speaks for 12 hours a day for 4 days in a row. I mean, he's got stamina. This guy can speak. And he's entertaining and energetic and passionate. And he cares about his audience. These are things these are values I also wish to share. So I'm lying there, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't, like, breathe. My throat hurts. How am I going to do this? And I think to myself, what would Brendon Burchard do? Well, he'd probably take a Dayquil. He'd get up, take a shower, and he'd go and he'd rock it. You know, he'd go and he'd speak with full energy and presence. You know, and for me, that's what I'm trying to do, right? If you know who you admire the most, you can be driven to make decisions that are important in your life. So take some time and figure out who these three people are. What do they sacrifice to achieve what they achieve? Yeah? Because I can't just go up to you and say, so what are your values? Right? Oh, freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You know, that's, you know, we're not, all those things, right? But that's just scratching the surface. Everyone has a unique set of drives. You know, and that's the core of our being. That's the core of our being. So, you know, if you're having trouble with this, grab a personal branding book and do some of the exercises. Go to the Career Center, take an assessment, talk to Jimmy. Or, you know, if you think you could do it alone, sit down and really think about that. What are your values? What are your values? And then we have the second part of personal branding, which is understanding their problems. Okay? Now, we have a target list, a list of target organizations that we really want to work for. And now we need to figure out what their problems are, so that we can position ourselves as a solution. Well, here's a website you might want to write down called AllTop. What AllTop does is it's a human curated directory of the top news in any industry you can dream of, including healthcare IT, health services, all of those. There are top blogs and news sites that human beings actually pull news items from and curate. And instead of going out there and Google and trying to find all this stuff, it's already done for you. So this is a huge time saver. Check out AllTop. I think you'll find that after a week of reading some of these news articles, you'll start to really understand what the problems and challenges are in your industry and who the key players are, especially in pharmaceutical, right? So which patents are expiring pretty soon? You know? Which pharmaceutical companies have an R&D budget that is so large that you can pretty much expect huge changes in certain fields? like cancer research. Yeah. Fascinating things you can learn about. And then when you can address these problems directly in your messaging and your personal brand on your profiles, wow. Because hiring managers have a stack of resumes like this that they need to get through, and they give you 8 to 30 seconds, 10 to 30 seconds. And if you can address those problems, they're going to stop, right? They're going through the resumes like this, and oh, okay. You know, she gets it. She gets it. You know, and that goes into the yes pile for screening. You want to be there. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? Yeah. So let's break this down into more of a realistic setting. How does this apply to LinkedIn? I'm assuming that most of you have LinkedIn profiles. Can I see a show of hands if you have? Okay, those of you who do not have LinkedIn profiles, have I convinced you that you might want to get one pretty soon? Yes? All right. Good. So in your LinkedIn profile, there's a space just below your picture. It's called your professional headline. You all have resumes. I know that. Right? You all have resumes. In your resume, right below your name is where you would put your job title. But this isn't your resume. You know, the easy way is to just copy and paste your resume on LinkedIn, and then you're done, right? Just, whoop, we're done. 20 minutes, got my LinkedIn profile, tick box that one off. Now let's just wait and see what happens. Actually, this is your professional headline. Nike can sell shoes in 3 words. Car companies can sell cars in 20 seconds or less. You can sell yourself in 120 characters, which is the amount of space you have up here. Okay? So just feel this with me for a second. Option one, VP of marketing. Option two, I help companies generate revenue through product innovation and go-to-market planning. Which one feels better? Option two. Way more personality. He's way differentiated. He's really positioned himself. That's the personal positioning. Yeah. So the first mistake is really this. That area for your headline is your headline. It's not your job title. Okay, it's not just your job title. It's your 120-character commercial. So rethink that a little bit, you know? A newspaper hired Mark Twain to write an article. And so he wrote a 5-page article. Guy gets back to Mark Twain. He says, you know, this is a newspaper. This needs to be a 1-page article. Mark Twain says, that's fine. It's double the fee, though. Writing small and concisely is very hard. So even though this is just 120 characters, it's probably going to be the hardest part of your profile to do. Okay, so take some time with that. Do we have a question? Is there a question? That's right. Yeah. That's right. Your job title will take up 20 to 30 characters. You have another 100 to do something with. You know. Yeah. Did you all hear the question? So the question was, it's not just your job title, which means, yeah, you can include it, but your job title is just short, right? You can add some more. Now, there's another part of your LinkedIn profile called your summary. Your summary is sort of that part of your resume that's, a very formal statement of what your professional intentions are. Do you guys know what I'm talking about on your resume? It's this top paragraph, you know, Joshua Waldman brings 17 years of marketing experience to the table and is interested in helping your company achieve X, Y, and Z. Okay? This really needs to be in first person. Thank you for coming. Have a good class. So this really needs to be short, concise, and in first person. In fact, a friend of mine changed hers from third person to first person and increased the number of clients she had by 3 a week. Small changes, big results. So this one is way too long, right? I told you, a hiring manager has a stack of resumes to go through. Well, why not make it easy on them? Keep it short. Keep it simple. Hook them. Show that you understand their problems and that you are the solution to it. Does that make sense? Just so I can get a sense, how many of you have class at 1? Whoa. All right. So so we're going to lose half the room in like 5 minutes. I'll just do a brief pause here. I just want to make sure everyone has the handout. So if you're leaving, you have the handout. Do you all have that? Can we get that to them? And if you're interested in learning more, I have some of these packages out there on the table, so you can check that out too. But I hope most of you stick around. It gets better. Thank you. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what you're aspiring to. Yeah, future pace. Yeah. You're both masters. You guys too? You're all masters. Yeah, you want your headline to be what you're going to be. What you're gonna be when you grow up, in other words. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Jimmy. So it's too bad they left, because I'm about to give away the best part of the lecture and you guys get to see it. Oh yeah, because it's not on the handout. I actually put together a framework. Talking about yourself is really hard, isn't it? I mean, for me, I wrote this 360-page book, but I couldn't write the bio. I couldn't do it. I'd start, stop. My wife thought it was stupid. I'd start over. And then I thought it was stupid. I'd start over. I hired a professional writer to write my bio, because writing about yourself sucks. So, this is a framework that really helps to get you unstuck from that. It's a 4-step process to think about how do you write about yourself on LinkedIn in the professional summary area. Remember, the summary area is this long block of prose just below the blue contact information. Okay. So the first thing is, who are you? Tell me about yourself. So, I'm a social media specialist who helps job seekers overcome the challenges of the economy by using social media more effectively and efficiently so they can find their dream jobs. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? So the first one is, who are you? And maybe if you want to write along or try to answer that question, since we're a smaller group, we can try to workshop that. You know, we can work on it together. So write it down. Who are you? The second one is, what do you do in the context of the problems you solve? Remember that personal branding framework we looked at. Who are you? And what problems do they have? So the second one is, what do you do in the context of the problem you solve? You know that the organization you're targeting has some operational issues. And you're really good at thinking about systems. That might be something to position. The third one is, why are you the best at what you do? Remember, personal branding is personal positioning. And positioning means, how are you different from everyone else? And that means, why are you the best? Everyone in this room is the best at something. You can all raise your hand and say, I am the best. But then you have to say what it is you're the best at. And the fourth one is, what's your call to action? Once somebody learns about you, what do you want them to do about it? If you're looking for a creative systems thinker who can see the big picture and who has a track record of creating operational efficiencies, give me a call. Notice I didn't say, I'm looking for a job, can you hire me? That's not a call to action. So real quick recap, who are you, what do you do, why are you the best, and what's your call to action? Anybody want to give it a go?
Into the microphone, of course.
I'll give you a DVD. I'll give you a DVD.
So you're going to do it, Cynthia? You're going to do it, Cynthia? Okay. Let me pass you the mic.
I admire that.
Well, my name is Cynthia Carroll. I am a learning specialist and counselor here at the Health Science Center. So what I do is I work with students who may be struggling academically or personally. My strength is in stress and anxiety, which I'm feeling right now. Usually if I can prepare myself, I don't feel it, but that is what I specialize in. And I think I'm probably really great at what I do because not only do I do a lot of research on it, it's what I went to grad school for, but I'm working under the tutelage of a PhD who also specializes in stress and anxiety for PTSD with veterans. And it's what I want to continue to do. I think I'm in a really great place because medical school is stressful and anxious, or an anxiety-provoking place because you're dealing with the most complex organism in the known universe. So that's it.
You did. Good job. Let's get her a DVD. Alexis, could you grab one from the table? Thanks so much. Alexis, I recruited her as my assistant today. She's been great. Thank you. So for your call to action, some live coaching, if you don't mind. Are you open to some coaching on your call to action? So think about what you want someone to do for you. Are you looking for clients? Are you looking for subjects? Are you looking for, what are you looking for?
Right now I'm satisfied. So that's a difficult question to answer.
Do you want to be a resource for others?
Yes, that's what I mean, because I've got the clients. I've got a huge basis to work with. I mean, I have it. I feel like I don't have it all. I mean, there's always room for more. But, I mean, if you ask me how I feel, I'm very pleased with what I get to do on a daily basis.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So perhaps you want to be a resource for others. So right. So perhaps if you're looking for to get into a situation where, like me, if you're interested in learning more about stress and anxiety management, not how to have more of it.
Yeah, how to have less of it.
How to have less of it. Mm. Give me a call. Something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that way your profile starts to do something. It has a momentum.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
When you said you were good at stress and anxiety, I wasn't sure what you meant. You do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else want to go? All right. So I've got a question for you. Who in this room would show up at a job interview naked?
What was it for doing it?
Did you say it depends on the job? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we can make a few assumptions here, right? We know that 95% of hiring managers are going to look you up on LinkedIn. Therefore, I think we can assume that it's very likely your first impression is going to be online. So if your first impression is going to be online, my question for you is, why is your LinkedIn profile not complete? Why is it not complete? Because recruiters and hiring managers have been using this tool for 4 or 5 years at least. They know an incomplete profile when they see one. And when they see one, what goes on in their head? You know, it's like, wow, this person isn't serious. They're not taking their career seriously. They're probably not going to take. Everything you do online now is a reflection of the quality of work you will do once you're hired. If you can't complete a profile, what else can't you complete? That's the thought process that goes on. Okay. So for those of you with LinkedIn profiles that are not complete, typically we get stuck in one of three areas. First, it'll be our professional summary. But we've already gone through a framework of how to do that. So that's no longer a barrier. The second one is your photograph. And we're going to talk about photographs next. So that will not be a barrier. The first and foremost area that is not completed on LinkedIn is this space called your recommendations. And the reason why those are usually not complete is because we don't directly control those outcomes. And so we need to learn ways to manage that. Right? You really do need those recommendations. You need at least three. So if you need three, why don't you send out 6 requests? And once you send out your 6 requests, why don't you call and follow up? Because you can easily give someone a guilt trip on the phone rather than on an email. You know, hey, you know, completely taking 10 minutes of your time over this weekend to complete this recommendation for me on LinkedIn will make the difference for me getting hired or not. And it will. Could you do this for me? And if they say yes, you can hold them to that, right? So now you'll have your recommendations. A good thing to do also is to have 3 bullet points. You know, these are 3 things, since we've worked together, these are 3 things I think that you might want to talk about when you give that recommendation to me. Right? So we can manage things. There are things in life that we don't control. A lot of things, right, Jimmy? The weather, our spouses, our work, things that pop up. So there are all these things we can't control, but we can manage. We learn how to manage. Okay? So manage this. Manage this. Does that make sense? All right. Pictures are incredibly important because we are visual creatures. How many of you have studied the human brain? Of course it is. So we know that a good majority of our brain is devoted to seeing. We are visual creatures. Our 2 eyes have a huge part of our brain devoted to them, to operate. We make split-second decisions based on what someone looks like. So, as an engineer who came to a career coach friend of mine who had a horrible LinkedIn picture, and this guy had 2 patents in his name, he took a company public. I mean, incredible, right? He couldn't get a call back. The career coach asked him to swap out his profile picture. And within 7 days, he had 3 job offers. Okay, small changes have big results. The picture matters. So that vacation photo crop of your face from last year's Hawaii vacation isn't really going to cut it. Also, if you don't have a picture, you're in trouble because you're not even playing the game. You're not playing the game. Imagine for a moment you're on a dating site, and she's a tall Scandinavian bikini model with no picture. That's not your type. I don't know. Tall, dark, and handsome. Who's that guy in Grey's Anatomy that everybody likes? All right, so anyways. But, you know, so you're like, wow, I don't really trust this profile anymore. You know, there's no picture. That's exactly what a hiring manager feels. I don't really trust this. Does that make sense? So not having a picture means you're not even playing the game. You're not even playing the game. So I'd rather, in a way, you almost have a bad picture like that, where you can't swing, but at least you're out on the plate. Excuse me. I'll be all right. Maybe one of you can prescribe something to me. excuse me. So these are a few examples that that I like. Brooke Snow, it was a client of mine, and you know, her brand was really all about being playful and creative. She works at Wieden and Kennedy now. This picture got her a job. Because Wieden and Kennedy is one of the top creative marketing firms in the world. And so being creative and wild and energetic and playful was really good for her job search, right? Pam Slim, who's a business coach, kind of sits like this. What emotion is that? Thoughtful, attentive, listening. Is that listening? Does somebody have a cough drop? Someone said, you have a cough drop. So, she's a business coach. And so, being a listener is really important. That's part of her brand, right? Who are you? Your picture needs to reflect your brand. Oh, that'll do. Thank you. Thank you. I knew I'd get some kind of chewy pill or something like that at UIT. Thank you. So, chewy mint. There is a chewy mint. I didn't expect it to be so chewy. Wow. So now I can't talk at all. You're just going to have to read the handout. Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. Number five is looking like an axe murderer. I think I'm all right. No, that was fine. I'm just teasing. So really take that picture seriously. I don't know if the Career Center could do a photo day for LinkedIn.
We actually have an on-site photographer, photography department.
Yeah. Take advantage of that. Really, you know, that's a huge resource. That'll make a big difference. So any questions about photos? No? This is usually the most controversial part. Yes? Headshot. Yep, headshot. That's all you get. No. No. Use their on-site professional photographer. I mean, you know, you have this free resource that's going to really make you look good. Your iMac, you know, iCamera is not... We good? All right. So, get your photo. And get a nice one. All right, moving on. When I was an undergrad, one thing that we'd like to do when a speaker would come and talk is ask the speaker, what are you reading right now? Because what someone's reading right now can really reveal what they're thinking and how they're thinking. Right? So putting your book on your LinkedIn profile can separate yourself from all the other people going for these jobs, because you're now demonstrating to the hiring manager how you're thinking, and that's unique, right? So you have this splash of color from the book cover. You have an industry recognizable title, so they see the title and they say, oh, I read that book. Looks like this person is fairly smart, reading the same things that I'm reading, right? There's an association that occurs. So putting your book title, the two books that you're reading right now, on your profile is a great way to differentiate yourself. Okay. So this is the sixth mistake, which is it's a free resource that LinkedIn gives you. You definitely need to take advantage of that. So networking is really important, right? We're going to talk about that for a sec, because at the end of the day, it's all about networking. 80%+ of jobs come from networking, not from job boards. Networking. Who you know, actually, it's the second degree connections that are most valuable. Who your friends know are going to help you get hired. So be careful that when you're doing all of this social media stuff, that you're not avoiding a more painful stimulus, as they say. Because networking is, let's face it, uncomfortable. And it's a lot easier to sit in front of your LinkedIn profile and, you know, fill out forms and crop pictures and all kinds of stuff like that. So be careful that you're not just avoiding a networking opportunity, that you're using social media in order to get more networking opportunities, okay? That's why the four most important words that you'll ever use when you're networking with social media is take it offline. I'd like to take it offline. Let's have this conversation over coffee, 10 minutes on the phone, whatever. When you're reaching out to organizations and contacts within those organizations via LinkedIn, ask for a meeting. Ask for the meeting. I've been researching your company. I think I might be a good fit. I'm not sure, though. So just so that I'm not wasting your time or mine, if I were to apply, do you have 5 or 10 minutes to answer a few questions? Let's take it offline. Close to the next meeting. Good. So here's the seventh mistake. Okay. So how are we doing on time, Jim?
Anyone have to go to class at 1:30? Is everyone good for another few minutes? Okay.
Okay. We're good. You guys still alive? Let's talk about Twitter. Here's the thing with Twitter. Anyone can write these days a bad book, a stupid book. You write it, you go on lulu.com, and you're now a self-published author. Anyone can write a bad book. Does that make all books bad? Does it make all books stupid? So if people use Twitter for stupid reasons, like talking about their bacon and eggs breakfast or when they took a shower or something like that, does that make Twitter stupid? No, it doesn't. It just means that people are not using it for the same reasons you are or would like to in the future. So, Twitter's actually, as we saw, 8 million people got their jobs networking with Twitter. Twitter's actually one of the most powerful tools you have at your disposal for looking for a job. It's a real-time medium. Check out a company called tweetmyjobs.com. Tweetmyjobs.com is a real-time job board. Thank you. That's so sweet. Tweetmyjobs.com is a real-time job board. So companies pay only $30, I think, a month per job. So it's accessible for both small and large businesses. And when they post the job, you subscribe to the channel, and you get jobs relative or related to the positions and locations that you're interested in. So we know that the sooner you apply to a job once it's posted, the better chance you have of that application being considered. We know that. And that's an exponential curve. This gets you pretty close to T=0. Yeah, of that job being opened up. So check it out. Tweetmyjobs.com. Also, check out some of these volunteer Twitter accounts. There's a phenomenon that has occurred in the Twitter community throughout the country, and that is that people are now running volunteer Twitter accounts that do nothing but post jobs. So I can go to Twello, which is a Twitter yellow pages. And in Twello, I can say, okay, Dallas jobs. What are Twitter accounts that are posting Dallas jobs? And I found a bunch for you. It's at Dallas jobs for you. At Dallas jobs, which has posted 66,000 jobs in the last year. In real time. You know, pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah.
Do you think this technology, Twitter, Facebook, social media, is really big in only certain industries? Because I just try to picture the industry that I'm in, and I'm not looking for a job. But I'm just curious.
That must be her boss.
This is being recorded.
It's all right. We can
talk
afterwards.
I'm thinking about who I know as psychologists, professional counselors.
Yeah.
And they just seem less tech savvy. So is this something that's going to be more prevalent and useful in certain industries?
Yes. Yeah. So rather than a one-word answer. There are online communities for virtually every profession. It might, you know, your answer might not be LinkedIn as a healthcare provider. I don't know. You know, it's sort of like any marketing. You have to know where your customer hangs out and then hang out with them. There could be social networks specifically devoted to healthcare professionals or PTSD treatment. There may be. There may be Facebook groups that are going to serve you better than having a LinkedIn profile. You know, that really just depends on your industry and the research that you've done. Good question, but thank you. Twitter and Facebook are probably the most ubiquitous. I think LinkedIn can be very specific to certain industries. So definitely Twitter, Facebook, and then maybe some tangential third party, you know, smaller network. But you got to do that research. You got to find out where your people are hanging out, where they're networking. Because I know healthcare professionals have online networks. Yeah, good question. Anyone else? Okay. So we're gonna wrap up real quick. On Texas Chops. There's a bunch of these. You know, I'd encourage you to go to Twello and type in healthcare professional or Texas healthcare, stuff like that. I think you'll be remarkably surprised. So we talked about positioning. There's a reason why that came first, right? Because when you've thought about how you're different and how you're uniquely qualified to solve a specific problem at an organization, then you can start to fill out and polish off your profiles, right? I mean, polish off the way you look online because you're going to be found there. When you apply to a job, they're going to check you out online. PricewaterhouseCoopers has made it part of their standard operating procedure to Google all of their candidates before they even go through a phone screening. It's very likely that the companies or organizations you're going for do this as well. So polish off your online profiles. Google yourself. See what it looks like. And then take it offline. Bring those conversations into a realm in which you can control the environment. Okay? Manage those relationships. Own those relationships. Take it offline. Have conversations, information interviews, all kinds of stuff you can do. Right? So instead of just apply for a job online and wait for the black hole, and then maybe somebody will say you get a phone screening, which is very unlikely because there's so many applicants doing this. And the longer you wait, your chances of getting that seriously considered go down exponentially by the minute. Rather than doing that, why don't you form relationships with an organization so that when you do apply, your application gets flagged because you have contacts there and you can say, look, I just applied. I'm wondering if you might let HR know about it, since companies actually prefer employee referrals than random people. Cool. Is that good? Clear for everybody? So I've got an iPad application coming out through a company. My friends are here. JobJuice. Rod's there. It's pretty cool, actually, because they're a Dallas-based startup, and they've been around for a while. They have cards, a deck of cards, as well as iPad applications, salary negotiation. We'll have mine coming out in a couple of months. So they have some cards out there. You can check them out. I actually used them to prepare for interviews when I was an MBA. So it's pretty neat. And I thought, since, you know, Dallas-based startup, and we're working together, I might invite them to come and to to present themselves to you. So check them out. They're in the back. And with that, I think maybe we'll have one more winner. What do you think? Do you guys get that?
Do we need a trivia question?
We have a question. Yeah. Yes. So the question was, if you get Googled and you don't show up at all, that can be a problem too. So you can build content. You can personalize your LinkedIn profile so that your name is actually in the URL. If you do that, then Google will index that, and you'll start to show up in search results. So small things like that can make a big difference. Yeah. Any other questions? Let's have a winner.
Trivia question?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Let me think of a good one here. Okay, what brand new academic program starts enrolling new students in the fall of 2013? I think this gentleman had the first hand up. Was there anyone in the back? I'm sorry, my line of vision. Did anyone beat this gentleman with their hand up?
You guys can share.
Random trivia, but this is all about the Health Science Center. If it's too random, then it's okay. And your answer is College is pharmaceutical close to College of Pharmacy? Does that count, everyone? Okay, that counts. Well, no, it's pharmacy. Pharmacology already exists. It's a pharmacy school. And these what now? Yes, recently named. Okay, I think that counts. Okay, good enough for everybody? Okay.
He'll sell it to you for $200. So I can come to schools like this and come to Dallas and talk to tons of people and get on the news and do these kind of tours because I sell this package. And so if you're looking for most of you who didn't win, and if you would like to get some of these things, I do have them in the back table here. It's $50. So what I wanted to do is provide as much, you could always just go on Amazon.com and get the book, right? What I wanted to do was provide you with additional value. The author is here. The book helps support the tour. So if you're looking for that coupon book and that DVD, just for the cost of the DVD, you'll get all three. Okay, so it's as much value as I can possibly provide in a small baggie, a freezer bag. So if you're interested in that, I've passed out order forms. Do you all have those? They'll be on the table as well. So please support my tour. Check out the coupon book if you want to thumb through it and see other services. They'll be there. And I'm also doing something on Sunday that I don't ordinarily do. I haven't done in years, actually. I've been in front of probably 2,000 people this week and tomorrow and the next day I'll be in front of maybe another 500. I've been getting a lot of emails from folks saying, I have a specific situation. Could you look at my LinkedIn profile? How do I find my top 10 companies? How do I do that research? So I've decided to actually stay an extra day in Dallas since I don't know when I'll be coming back. And so I'm running a boot camp from 3 to 9 on Sunday night. I think it's going to be in downtown Dallas at Argosy University. I don't know how to pronounce it. So if you're interested in doing that, getting some personal individualized attention about your job search, you'll walk out of that boot camp with a really nice-looking LinkedIn profile, clear next steps, and even some templates on how to reach out to hiring managers and information interview sources. So it's gonna be really high action, really personalized boot camp. So if you're interested in that, come talk to me in the back table. That'll be available. For the rest of you, please join my newsletter. Let me pass that around. the newsletter, you'll have access to a couple of free online videos, and you'll get my newsletter every Thursday morning. It goes out at 6 a.m. Pacific time. And it has, you know, news from cool startups like JobJuice, changes with LinkedIn, all kinds of really good news and information about the social media world of job search. Because, I mean, really, at the end of the day, job search is social media job search. Right? There is no other way to do it now. Okay. So I just want to thank you all for your time and attention and for braving the snow and rain.
You laugh, but we were snowed in for an entire week a year ago.
I heard. That was not my fault, though. The rain was my fault this week. I want to thank you all for coming out. And really, just go out there, understand social media, regain that sense of control, and find your dream job. Thank you so much.
And please be sure to grab another slice of pizza and some water on your way out before you go. Did everyone get an evaluation like this? Did anyone not get an evaluation? Because I didn't see those either. So.
Okay.
We have evaluations up here if you have a second to fill out the evaluation as well. Who didn't get one? Oh, thanks, Alexis.
Don't read and drive.